We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. Willie McGinnis will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the Patriots and the NFL. Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, will join us at 1:30 today. Preview the Celtics season opener tonight. We finally get to see Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving for something more than 5 minutes.
I'm looking forward to that. I am also very excited. Chris Forsberg just tweeted out a picture of Marcus.
Saw the shirt.
Marcus Morris's shirt that he's wearing. So we all know about Scary Terry and how that really took off last year. This shirt that Marcus Morris is wearing, called A Nightmare on Causeway Street, it has probably the top 10 players on the Celtics all in a different horror movie villain like mask, and it is amazing.
Oh, this,
and I need to buy it.
Oh, I didn't even know who's selling them, but we have to have these.
I found it. It's online. I am probably gonna have to get one of those.
You found it?
Oh yeah. Well, one of my buddies texted it to me. He's like, "Here's the link." I was like, "Okay, I will buy one."
Do you think it's an oversight though? The Scary Terry shirt was always the Scream Ghostface mask.
Yeah, I thought they would go Scream there, but it's they got the Jason Voorhees hockey mask on Terry Rozier, but. Pretty good. You got Gordon Hayward, Hannibal Lecter. You got Jaylen Brown as Jigsaw from Saw. You got all kinds of stuff going on here.
Gordon Hayward is Frankenstein.
The one thing I will say is Aaron Baines is dressed up as Bane. So on the one hand, you say Bane, that makes sense.
That's good.
Bane, not a horror villain. He's a Batman villain, not a horror villain. I would kind of quibble with that a little bit. But Bane, it's a nice mask. Everybody else is like an iconic horror villain. So pretty good stuff.
Good stuff, especially this time of the month.
Yes.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Let's get back to the calls with you guys. John is in Brockton. Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. I woke up this morning to go check and see what the spread and everything for this game was, and I just checked it. Checked in the morning. It was 14.5 for the Astros game tonight, and it was a 3.5 for the Brewers game. I checked back now, and it's 10. I don't think that the Red Sox are going to go over 5 points, and I don't think the Astros will go over 5 points. So I have no idea what they're thinking about for the Vegas spread. I feel like it's going to go.
What?
Ball's going to go
points
over under.
Talking about runs
tonight.
All right,
yeah.
So it's 8.5. The over under is 8.5 for Red Sox Astros.
Yeah, this morning it was 14.5.
What? Somebody made a mistake.
Yeah, that couldn't have been right. It's 8.5 in the American League. It's 7.5.
There's no way a baseball over under is 14.5.
No.
I saw it, and I was totally baffled by it.
You should have grabbed the under then.
Oh, man, jump all over that.
Should have pounced on the under. Yeah, no, I mean,
and a half makes sense to me.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, it's a 5-4 game, 4-3 right. game. You know, you figure out what you think it's going to be. Maybe it's a 6-2 game or something like that. But
yeah.
Do people really jump all over under bets for baseball
of
games?
Of course they do, Dale.
Of course.
Of course they do. Why not?
What was you were telling me about? Somebody was betting preseason football.
Yeah, it was preseason basketball. There was a story out there yesterday. Somebody bet $20,000 on the Golden State Warriors money line just to win in a preseason game. And I don't even know if they won or lost, but all he would have won is like $4,000. So he put up $20,000 in a preseason game. Like, I don't even know who's going to play, like, and how long they're going to play or if they care.
Yeah, the only thing that's dumber to me is betting on preseason NFL games.
Yeah, or spring training baseball. I've had friends
where you've got guys
like,
running in the outfield.
Yeah, I'm like, you're betting on this game? They're like, yeah. How do you think they're going to do? I'm like, I don't know. What? No, that's ridiculous. How do I think they're going to do?
And then afterwards when they're interviewing the pitcher, yeah, you know, I threw every pitch was a curveball because I was trying to get the motion down.
Yeah.
And
I bet on that. That's a good investment.
They like, don't care.
No, they don't at all.
Yeah, that's the thing to keep in mind. If the player you're betting on doesn't care about the game that he's playing in, you probably shouldn't care enough to place a bet on it.
No, you shouldn't.
617-779-7937. Kyle is in New Bedford. Hey, Kyle.
How's it going?
Good.
What's going on?
Nothing. So I was calling basically because I was sitting there talking to my buddy, like we said, and we were talking about the Red Sox game tonight. And now all this banter about Eovaldi and whether or not they're going to let Eovaldi. They're trying to get to him. They're trying to get to him early with the Instagram video and, you know, get his nerves going. But it ain't going to happen. I think it's funny, you know. I think like I said, as a Red Sox fan, there's always something, always a higher alter, always some ulterior motive for the other team to create something, you know, some kind of banter. And it's just funny. I think Cora said it best. You know, now's a great time to be a baseball fan, and he's got other nothing. Don't let the distractions get to you. He's got three games to the show. I think it's just funny that Houston, being somewhere they were there last year, you know, they should know more than anybody that this is something to, you know, just stay focused on. But I think it's good. I think Eovaldi will do good, and hopefully the Red Sox sign him to a better deal than they signed Price to.
They've got their own talk show going in the front
like
seat
it.
Of the car.
No, usually one person calls in at a time, but you got a little bit of both there. That was good. So they obviously were having their conversation. They said,
and they said, hey, let's take this to Rich
and Dale. All good. Makes sense.
Isn't that what Sports Talk Radio was built
on? It is.
Right there?
That is it in a nutshell right there. Send that in to Marconi. He'd be very, very happy to hear that. I just think that, you know, I'm okay with the trash talk. I'm a little bewildered why he took it down. Like, was that him coming to his senses? I don't even know if coming to his senses is right. Is that him having a change of heart? Is that somebody telling him, cut the crap?
But my guess would be it was somebody, and my money, based on the cut from A.J. Hinch, my money's on a veteran player on the team.
But in this day
saying,
and age.
Hey, come on. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, that Justin Verlander said, come on.
Said, why don't you cool it with that? But my point is, it's not. What he did wasn't offensive. Like, I can see where there's the ones where you say somebody, like these old tweets that people have, and you're like, hey, like, get rid of that, because people can retweet it still and people can do all that stuff. So you say, hey, get rid of that. That makes sense to me. But this one, we've all already seen the video. We're all talking about the video. So just taking it down.
People think that, oh, I took it down, nobody will see it now. No,
but like, you still did it. And now I know that you had to think about it even more, or I know that you had a conversation about it. Like, I know it's become even a bigger thing for you than it even was before. And also, he had to have somebody, because this is Rossi's favorite thing. None of these athletes really tweet.
Oh, no, that's not what I say. There's one
just
athlete.
Just Brady. But do you think Bregman was editing video and put that together?
No, I think that's a highlight package that's out there.
Oh, okay.
And then the worst part is, when you talk about offensive or why would he take it down, all he wrote in it was a little video work, pregame video work.
Yeah, he was probably watching video. All these guys watch video
all the time,
trying to pick up something on Eovaldi. And he's like, oh yeah, we went back-to-back-to-back homers on these guys. I'm going to post this. They didn't want to take it down? Like, that's pathetic. Don't take
it down.
I want to like you, Bregman, but don't take it down.
Well, we played the clip in the open, and it's obvious he's holding his phone up to the screen, and you're hearing the audio. It's not like, you know.
It's not quality.
Yeah, it's not like he's breaking video down or something.
Not 1080p on that right there. I mean, yeah, that's not great quality.
He's sitting in the video room.
Right.
And somebody pulled it up for him.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, good, I'm going to post this. And then it got picked up everywhere. Everybody that covers baseball was writing about it. There was a post on it. It was all over Twitter. It was obviously all over Instagram. And everybody was talking about it. That one was on the train tracks.
Blasted.
That one was crushed.
How could a guy that size hit the ball that far?
I don't get it. Altuve, and even Bregman's a little dude.
Yeah, Bregman, not as little as Altuve.
I mean, Altuve is another level. He's the Muggsy Bogues of baseball. But
my wife, the non-sports fan, looked up the other night and said, how tall is that guy?
Tiny.
I said about 5'4", I think.
The image from
him and Aaron Judge.
Unbelievable. That's the best baseball image I've ever seen. But yeah, because Judge makes everybody look small, and then you get the flip side of that. But yeah, these guys, it's the same thing in like golf. Like when Rory McIlroy hits the ball 350, you're like, what? Like I don't get it. Torque? Something?
Torque and body angle and launch angle. It was big on launch angles.
No,
probably.
That's true. That's a good point. But yeah, I mean,
the fact that the Red Sox are tied in this series 1-1 and have basically gotten next to nothing from J.D. Martinez fills me with a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, true.
I mean, because I believe he's going to, you know, we saw Mookie start to come out of it
the
other night.
That was great to see.
You see him start to come out of it. I think you'll see J.D. Martinez start to come out of it. We thought that if the Red Sox were going to win this series, they were going to have to do it with offense, right? We thought that Houston pitching staff is better. We thought the Houston relief staff is better, and hasn't been so far, but because the Red Sox relievers have been really good.
They have been, especially when they use a starter in there. You know, Rick Porcello, that really helped them, obviously, last game. What do you think of going back to Eduardo Nunez, who I was ready to be done with altogether?
As a starter? Yeah. You mean if Chris Sale can't go?
No, no, no. Eduardo Nunez.
Oh, oh, Nunez. I thought you meant, yeah, because I was thinking about Rodriguez.
No, Nunez.
Yeah, I'm sort of done with Nunez.
I mean, I understand he's a righty and you're going up against Dallas Keuchel. He's 2-for-4 in his career. I mean,
well, he's got good numbers.
Very small sample size.
He's playing third base. Yeah. So, like I said, Rafi's doing well. He's doing a good job. But Dallas, although the numbers look that, you know, he's been getting hit by lefties. And then, you know, you start looking at damage and what we can do offensively. And I think it's the better matchup for us. You know, I think tomorrow will be kind of like when we face CeCe in New York, probably the same lineup. And we go from there. But Rafi's doing a good job. We got a few matchups that probably late in the game tomorrow, we can take advantage of it if they bring the righties and he's locked in.
I don't like this one at all. And this isn't, you know, going to be revisionist history. If Eduardo Nunez boots the ball at third base, you cannot be surprised. If he throws one away or whatever, you can't be surprised because he's looked very shaky. He's also this postseason 2-for-14. So they're trying to get all these right matchups and all against the lefty, and you're putting him in there. He's 2-for-14. Meanwhile, Rafael Devers.
Defensively, he's trick or treat.
Awful. Mostly trick. Rafael Devers, 4-for-10 in the postseason. And last year, he was good in the postseason. And I know you're like, wow, well, we got a lefty on the mound, lefty on the mound. I still remember Rafael Devers last year hitting a home run in the ninth inning off of Aroldis Chapman, one of the best lefties in the game. I would give Rafael Devers the start here, not Nunez. I'm completely done with Nunez. You know he's going to boot a ball away, and it's going to be really frustrating for you.
Nunez playing tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess. And then Ian Kinsler. Now, this is a matchup that makes more sense for Ian Kinsler. He is 306 lifetime against Dallas Keuchel and 36 at-bats, whereas he was terrible against Gerrit Cole and then still got a start against Gerrit Cole, and he had awful at-bats. Like, that was so predictable to see him go in there and have these terrible at-bats against him. Tonight, though, or this afternoon, this evening, if you want to put in Ian Kinsler, that one makes a little bit more sense than last game.
617-779-7937. Oh, somebody else who doesn't like trash talking.
Who's that?
John Mara, talking about Odell Beckham, quote, "I think he needs to do a little more playing and a little less talking."
Oh, John.
That's the owner of the team, though.
Who just gave him how much money?
$90 million.
Did you know that he had that? Did Odell Beckham just start talking trash this year? Was that a first?
I'm sure Odell will handle this perfectly.
He will. No, I trust him.
He's fine with all of this stuff. Criticism is not a problem for him. 617-779-7937. We'll talk to Willie McGinnis. We'll get back to your calls as well. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
For the win. The kick on the way from Gostkowski. Up and good. And from 28 yards away, Steven Gostkowski wins the shootout for the New England Patriots. The final score, New England 43, Kansas City 40. A classic in Foxborough goes the way of the home team.
It's time for our weekly visit with Willie McGinnis, former New England Patriot defensive star, Patriots Hall of Famer. Willie sponsored by Barmakian Jewelers and Town Fair Tire. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
I am well. How are you gentlemen doing?
We're good. Doing fine. You know, as a defensive star for the Patriots, as a guy who played defense your entire career, do you enjoy watching a 43-40 football game?
It's not ideal, but it happens. And, you know, when you play complimentary football, sometimes as a defense, you struggle. I mean, we struggled as when I played defense. We had those games where offenses, you know, scored a lot of points, and you need your offense to kind of bail you out, and that's exactly what happened the other night.
Are you thinking now, you know, a really good offense is what you need more so than a really good defense? Maybe the last few years it's been that way. We saw a really high Super Bowl, high-scoring Super Bowl the last couple of years, but there's now been three games just this season where both teams have scored in the 40s. It seems like we're scoring even more and more points now in the league.
Yeah, well, I mean, we are. And I think you still need a really good defense. And if you watch that game against, you know, with Kansas City and the Patriots, defensively, they did a lot in the first half to actually help and contribute in winning that game. I mean, there were three times that Kansas City was in striking distance, you know, in the Patriots' territory, what, in the 25 or less, where they held them to field goals or interception right before the half, which could have easily, for that explosive team, could have easily been touchdowns. So I think the defense, you know, they when you're playing against a high-powered offense, you can't take everything away. You got to limit certain things, and you got to make some crucial plays, which they did to help win. So I thought it was a good team effort. It's tough, man. It's extremely tough. I'm watching that offense, and I'm saying to myself, wow, like when it's like a leak, man. When you stop one hole or plug, something else starts to fall apart. It was tough, but they did a good job. They did enough to win.
As you're watching the game on Sunday, as you said, the Patriots' defense in the first half actually did a pretty good job, and then they come out the second out of the locker room for the second half, and boom, right down the field. What changes from the Patriots' perspective, or is it just that Kansas City got better?
Well, Kansas City made some adjustments, and you got to give Andy Reid and that offensive staff some credit. You know, just like we see the Patriots do time and time again, there's in-game adjustments, there's halftime adjustments, and the really good teams, really good offenses, really good players, or defenses for that matter, they'll start, you know, they'll make plays as well. So that's what happened. And, you don't want it. That's not what you're going in and say, hey, okay, this half we stopped Hunt and we stopped Kelce and this didn't work. The second half we're going to let these guys make plays. You try to prevent those things, but, you know, they're a really good football team and good offense, and they actually made some plays as well.
Through 6 weeks of the season, are the Patriots back to being the best team in the AFC, or do you think it's somebody else?
Well, I think they're still striving to be the best. 6 weeks in, I don't think anybody's playing or peaking, you know, at this time. We see teams that are the veteran teams that are starting to get better. Pittsburgh is starting to pick it up. Kansas City has been consistent. The Patriots, after, you know, week 4 or 5, starting to play better. The really good football teams, Minnesota, the really good football teams are starting to pick it up and play better. But, guys, it's week 6. Nobody's winning championships. There's a lot of work to do. Right when you think a team has got it, some team comes out of nowhere and beats them like we watched the Jags and Dallas football game. I think a lot of people were surprised by the outcome, how uneven it was. So teams are still figuring it out, making adjustments. But at this point, I would say week 8, week 9, you'll see the really, really good teams start to separate themselves.
Patrick Mahomes certainly looks like he's got a bright future. Have you seen many quarterbacks who can throw on the run and as hard on the run as he can?
Yeah, he has a unique skill set. And some of the things he does is really unorthodox. The way he can deliver the ball off balance, his footwork not being what you deem as technical, the right technique, rather. His arm is, I mean, he has a live arm. He can put the ball anywhere in any position. And the only thing I fear with him is he has so much confidence. And he's so talented that it seems like at certain times he feels like he can put the ball and take chances or throw across his body, which we've seen him do. And the majority of the time he makes the play. He makes the throw, accurate throw. But there's going to be some times which we saw in the games where you throw in the traffic, it's going to turn into an interception. So I would say with him, man, he has it all. The only thing I would just worry about, if I was his coach, to be like, listen, we know you have all the tools to do everything, but certain things you got to stick to your technique and not take as many chances, because defenses are good too, and they will make plays.
Josh Gordon saw a real increase in playing time this past Sunday. How do you think he has fit in so far?
He's fitting in, and he will increase, I think, every single week. It's a sophisticated playbook. There's a lot of nuances to it. There's a lot of in-game adjustments, and there's also a lot of adjustments that Brady makes at the line. So I would stick to what I've been saying. He's the long term. We'll see more and more as he gets more comfortable. Right now, the way I'm watching tape and watching it, it's a limited role still. I think they'll be able to use him a lot of different ways as the weeks go on.
How do you compare the quality of the AFC as compared to the NFC right now?
Starting off, I thought the NFC would be a lot stronger, a lot better. I'm starting to see the AFC pick it up a little bit more. you had two undefeated teams in both sides. Now we only got one, which is the NFC. But some of those NFC teams we thought would be really good are struggling and not playing that well. And now the AFC teams that didn't really start off strong are starting to play a lot better. So I think it's starting to even out a little bit.
What can you tell us about the Bears? That'll be the Patriots' opponent this Sunday. Obviously, we know Khalil Mack is there and has gotten off to a good start. They got a young quarterback. But what else can you tell us about Chicago?
Well, defensively, they're aggressive. They like to get after the quarterback. They can do it with four and drop seven. You know, they're aggressive at taking the football away. They do a good job because of the front four of covering and doing double and taking away things. You know, this defense is tenacious. They're really disciplined. If you hold the ball, or if you make mistakes, they're going to make you pay for it. And, you know, they were, you know, the top five, top three defense in the league. And I think what we saw last week by Miami and what they did happens to a lot of defenses, a lot of really, really good defenses. It happened to Jacksonville. It happened to Minnesota. It's happening to some of our better defenses in the league. And they'll get back on track. And I think they'll play a lot better against the Patriots, of course, because it's the Patriots. Offensively, I think Matt Nagy has a blueprint of what he wants to do with Mitch Trubisky. I think we saw that not last week, but 2 weeks ago. And it was against the Bucs. And I know the Bucs aren't very good defensively, but he showed that there's a lot of creativity in this offense. They showed that they can move the ball. They definitely can run the football with the running backs. And they got playmakers at the tight end position on the outside. And depending on the game plan and what he sees fit, Matt Nagy's going to try to find those mismatches. And he's going to give you a lot of different formations. He's going to move the pocket with Mitch. And, you know, if you're not disciplined, if you don't play good ball, they can make plays and score points.
I'm a huge fan of Dante Scarnecchia, and I think he does a great job with the offensive line here. But oftentimes I think that the lack of sacks given up by the Patriots has a lot to do with the quarterback getting rid of the ball quickly, making good decisions. He made a bad decision Sunday night against Kansas City and ended up fumbling the ball away. I wouldn't expect you'd see a lot of those. He even said he can't make any more mental mistakes.
No, and you can't. I mean, you know, Tom wants to be perfect in every single play. He puts a lot of pressure on himself, but you got to realize these defenses are good too. And going against that Bears defense, no, you cannot make a lot of mistakes. Khalil Mack, I don't know if he had one last week, but you know he had a strip sack, recover fumble, almost in every game he's played in. So you got to be cautious that they're trying to rip the ball and take the ball away. But yeah, of course, the release, getting the ball out, it negates a good pass rush every single time. The offensive line understands the timing and what they're trying to do. So it's great. It's great cohesiveness between the quarterback and the offensive line. And I agree. I think Dante Scarnecchia is amazing. He's been there since I was drafted there in 94. Definitely a foundation and somebody who's responsible for a lot of the success on that offensive side of the ball. And I just think it works fine. I think Tom takes a lot of pressure off of that offensive line with his release and what he does. And that, you know, that put pressures on the defense as well.
Deion Lewis was a really good player for the Patriots. Do you see Sony Michel as an upgrade, or is that too early to tell?
I don't like to compare. I think they're a little bit different. I think Sony Michel's role right now is he's the pounder. He's the guy who's going to run the football. Deion was used in a lot of different ways. I think we see more James White having that role, being a runner, running the football, and then as one of the better receivers on the team. Sony Michel's working his way. I think he's doing a great job. If you want to run the ball, you want to have balance offensively, I think you got to have, in today's game, a guy that can catch the ball effectively out of the backfield and make plays and run the ball so they can't switch personnel. And I think you got to have a thumper. Also, somebody you can feed the ball 25 times to, you know, to establish the physical part up front and then to finish football games, which we saw, and take time off the clock, which we saw with Sony. And I think they got two complementary backs right now that are playing at a certain level. And they've always had that. And that's been a part of their success offensively, is having those weapons at the running back position.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Willie McGinnis, NFL Network analyst, Patriots Hall of Famer Willie McGinnis. We appreciate the time, as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. That is Willie McGinnis joining us. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Kiefer Madness at noon 30 today. And Chris Forsberg with a Celtics preview at 1:30 today as they get ready to open up the season tonight. All of that still to come, and back to your calls as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
25-yard line. Play action. One steps up, going deep. That field wide open again is Hill. Inside the 30. Wow. Hill down the sideline. Hill all the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Touchdown, Kansas City at 75 yards.
Tyreek Hill was a force. And the Patriots just didn't seem to have any answers for him. You heard that 75-yard touchdown catch there. And then he sort of ended up being in the middle of a firestorm, not of his own making, as he was running through the end zone. It's not a lot of room down there at the end.
No.
And he couldn't get slowed up or stopped until he got up to the wall.
Yeah, once you get up to like 100 miles an hour, yeah, it's
which
hard
it
to,
seems like he's doing.
Hard to ramp it down.
Yeah, he couldn't get stopped until he got up to the wall and, you know, kind of braced himself on the wall and got a bit of a reception there. One young lady gave him the double digits birds.
Double
right in the
birds.
Face.
In the face.
Right in his face. Yeah. There were other people obviously yelling at him.
Screaming.
A reported 21-year-old from Mansfield decided that he was going to take it upon himself to throw beer in the face of Tyreek Hill. The Patriots disinvited him from Gillette Stadium yesterday.
That's a real shame, yeah.
I always wonder how they can... I was thinking about the different ways they could enforce it.
I'll tell you how. You can't.
Oh, no, I'll give you an example how maybe you could.
Facial recognition software?
No, I don't think they have that.
Okay.
Here's where I think they could get them,
yeah,
if they did. If assuming he wants to have another beer when he goes to the stadium, he's got to show ID. They scan the ID, and I bet they can have that go bing, 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 bing. We've got this guy marked.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you can maybe flag him for certain things. As far as, like, if he went to another game, say in a couple weeks the Patriots are home again, and he goes with his friends and is tailgating, gets smashed in the parking lot, then goes in with a ticket, has a hat on over his face, goes in there, doesn't buy beer, doesn't buy anything, doesn't show his ID, just shows his ticket,
then
I don't know what you can do. I think you're in.
They'll flag his credit card so that he can't buy tickets using his credit card. I think that their computer system would allow them, if he tried to show an ID to buy alcoholic beverages, they would say, oh, this guy's on the list, the super secret list. Now
I think that's all they can do, though, by the way, and even just the threat of it. So it's like, now, like, all right, if you want to try to go back, like, you are kind of running the risk of maybe getting tossed out of there. But I don't know what else the Patriots can do.
Now, Tyreek Hill in the immediate aftermath said, "Ah, it's fine. Yeah, it's no big deal." He didn't even act like he was that mad as he was being, you know, led away from
it. It's probably not the first time it's happened. Like, these professional athletes, as bad as it is and as dumb as it is by fans, you do see it a lot.
His agent is Drew Rosenhaus.
Of course.
And Drew Rosenhaus decided, oh, no, you're more upset than that, Tyreek. And it was Drew Rosenhaus who said, we want charges filed. The Foxborough police will reportedly do that if they haven't done it already today. It's two misdemeanor charges. One, I didn't know there was such a thing, throwing something
at a sporting event. It's like a specific thing, because there's so many idiots out there, they had to come up with their own
thing. David Pastrnak scored the hat trick on Saturday at the Garden, all those people who threw their hats on the ice were violating the law. No, probably not.
No, I think they're probably encouraged to do
that. And it was not assault, but it was disorderly conduct.
Okay.
Disorderly conduct and throwing something at a sporting
event. I feel like
this
is so dumb by Drew Rosenhaus because, first of all, the fan is an idiot. I think we all acknowledge the fan is an idiot, shouldn't do that, banned from Gillette, all this other stuff, and that's fine. But when your client is Tyreek Hill, people have moved on. Crazy enough, they have moved on from what a terrible human being this guy is.
Oh, he's the worst.
Just the worst. And again, you go back to...
It also has nothing to do with what happened
Sunday. Nothing to do with it. But as soon as you bring up Tyreek Hill's name with charges, and I know these are going to be charges against a fan, but still, you're relating to, you know, prosecuting potentially a fan, and Tyreek Hill is involved. Well, it doesn't take that long to go right back to what he did to his then-pregnant girlfriend, choking, punching in the stomach, punching in the face. He got kicked out of Oklahoma State and fell into the fifth round because of what he did there. And he is a celebrated football player right now. People have put there like, hey, who cares? Like, he's great. What a player.
Play.
He's so fast.
Like, oh, my God.
He's awesome. And that's what's happened to him. He has gotten another chance and then some. But as soon as you start making and bringing this up, like if you're Drew Rosenhaus, now that story is very quick to follow. I don't know why you'd want to bring attention on that.
See,
if
that's
you're
what
him.
I was trying to figure out. I mean, Tyreek Hill himself. Now, maybe in the aftermath, Tyreek went in the locker room afterwards and thought, damn it, they can't be throwing beer in my face. Drew, we got to do something. Maybe it happened that
maybe.
Way. It doesn't seem that
probably
way.
Probably Rosenhaus
maybe.
Thing.
And I'm trying to figure out, okay, Drew, what do you...
Yeah, he's not the guy you should be doing that with. Now, if they
well,
if
what's
they dump...
the end game? What are you looking for?
Oh,
here?
Great question. I don't know, like money from that guy.
I mean, this guy. They're not going to sue that guy.
That's
I mean,
what I'm saying, like, what are you looking
the
for?
The 21-year-old from Mansfield probably will not make as much in a year as Tyreek Hill makes in a week.
Oh, absolutely not. But what they got to do, like, I understand if Drew Rosenhaus and who knows what he's really. I mean, I'm sure it's just about money with him. It has to be. But if you want to really set an example and you want to really send a message that fans can't throw stuff at players, which they shouldn't be able to do. They shouldn't do it anyway. If you want to do that, that's one thing. But if you're using Tyreek Hill as the guy, first of all, nobody feels bad for Tyreek Hill. Nobody. Not the venue, not the time, but a lot worse than beer being thrown on him should have happened and should happen. Like, that would be fine.
Yeah, but the problem I have, though, is trying to tie them together because it makes it sound like, well, he's a bad guy, so what's the big deal? I don't want anybody to do it at all. At an athletic
not there.
Venue.
You can't
yeah,
do it there.
You can't
no,
do it
no,
there.
No, I understand that.
And unfortunately, he is the worst human being.
Yes.
I agree with everything yeah. you say about him, but it also has nothing to do with what this nitwit
no.
did at Gillette Stadium.
And I think you even said it yesterday. The idiot at Gillette probably doesn't even know the story. Like
I guarantee he had no idea.
He would have done that to Travis Kelce. He would have done that to Sammy Watkins, right? He would have done that to Kareem Hunt.
Whoever the guy was
matter.
Scoring
Patrick
the touchdown
Mahomes.
Who ran up to the wall.
He would have done the exact same thing. So you're right. It has nothing to do with that. But with Tyreek Hill, I'm like, well, like I don't really feel bad for you, but the other guy was wrong. The stupid idiot in the crowd shouldn't have done what he's done. But I think Drew Rosenhaus, by bringing more attention onto it, It's almost impossible to ignore Tyreek Hill's past, especially when you're talking about, you know, trying to seek action like this.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what Rosenhaus's
no
end game was. You
Very
know, what
strange.
he was looking to accomplish. I mean, he's going to get the 21-year-old punished, and he should be. That's fine.
Yeah,
but,
fine.
Okay, so what?
Where do you go from there? Like, I don't know.
You know, when I look at it and I'm not, believe me, the last thing I'm going to do is defend the kid. He was an idiot.
Yeah.
And he makes everybody look bad. And it becomes a story around the country because, unfortunately, we sports fans of Boston have a certain reputation for some folks around the country anyway. Going back to Adam Jones and lots of other things. And luckily, I don't think I've heard anybody make this a racial issue.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
I haven't heard that.
I haven't heard it yet, although I haven't been watching a lot of ESPN. So maybe somebody brought it up.
I heard Van Pelt talking about it this morning. Didn't mention
good,
the racial
good,
issue at all.
Good.
Just talked about, you can't do that.
I wonder what goes through somebody's head, though. Like, oh, the team that I'm rooting against just scored a touchdown, so I'm going to feel better about myself by taking my $12 beer and dumping
half
of it on
them? Might be more than that.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Actually, maybe more. But how does that... Like, I've never understood that. Like, I'm going to show this guy who's boss. I'm going to take a guy and dump beer on him. What? Like, what does that
well,
do?
Well, my guess
I don't
is
get it.
He had consumed enough of those beers.
I keep drinking.
That the inhibitions were... Yeah, you finish this one too, okay, while you're at it,
no,
sir.
But, like, I understand, like, if a guy comes sprinting towards you, and if the girl wants to give him the double birds, good for you. That's fine. That's within your right. If you want to say something to him, as long as it doesn't cross a certain line, go ahead and say it to him. You're a paying fan. Voice your displeasure. But anytime you get into the throwing or the dumping of a beer or a soda, like I don't even get it. I don't know how that would pop into your head.
Well, this is what Van Pelt said about the incident when he talked about it this morning.
Good. Punish him. Make an example of him. This is completely unacceptable behavior, and it's a byproduct
of this made-up world fueled by social media where you think you can just say anything you want to somebody with no consequence. In this instance, you think you can throw a beer in someone's face. Because why? You bought a ticket? No. Because you know that Hill can't do anything to retaliate, because if he does, you'll sue him. It is the smallest and weakest type of behavior. This isn't how life works. Actions and choices have consequences. And this is not unique to Patriots fans. We saw it last year in Jacksonville when they hosted the Seahawks. It's all too common and it's everywhere. This guy's 21 years old, so that makes him an adult. So act like one. We use flowery terms like teaching moment these days. Strip it down to what it really is. Grow up and don't act like an idiot. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There you go.
Now, he does have an interesting point when he talks about this social media world. We talk about the Twitter tough guys all the time.
Oh, yeah.
The ones who feel, well, you know, on Twitter, I can say anything I want.
Anything you want.
Don't know who I am. I can be a tough guy. He had to think something was going to happen to him, didn't he? Did he think, okay, I'm going to throw this beer in Tyreek Hill's face?
I mean, is he
stupid enough to know that, Gillette is... They've got every seat covered.
Yeah, no,
they
he's
know
dumb.
Who you
he's,
are and where you are.
My guess is, like you said, he's pretty drunk as he's doing it, and he's hoping that so that whole section there, you got people yelling at Tyreek Hill, you got people flipping him the bird. He takes it another step further. He's probably expecting them to say, "Oh, that was great," and laugh and think it was funny. That's my guess. A lot of times, like if he was the only guy in the crowd, hypothetically, I don't think he does it. I think it's more of a reaction from the other people around
him.
And
he probably thought he could hide behind that front row.
Well, that too. Right?
You know, he's
and then,
in the back row. Nobody will see this.
No, so dumb. This is an unpopular opinion, Dale.
Oh, boy.
One I've had for a long time. I actually really liked the Malice in the Palace when the Pistons and the Pacers, remember when they got in that huge fight and they went in the crowd? Because that's the first time.
Well, unfortunately, they got the wrong guy, though.
They did.
That was the bad part.
But then there was the other guy, the guy that looked like Turtle from Entourage, that was trying to like bow up on Jermaine O'Neal, and he just socked him in the face. And I understand how bad it was for the league. Like, trust me, I get that part. But the point of, hey, I can throw stuff at these guys because they're just here for my entertainment and there are no consequences. Like, no. There are consequences. These guys could run into the stands and beat the crap out of you. It's happened in hockey. It's happened in other sports.
Mike Milbury.
You're not just sitting there watching them and there's no consequences if you do something. You're crossing a line. If you're throwing stuff, there could be an injury. There could be something that could happen there. And so you go into the crowd. And again, the league they hated that. It was a mess. But I was like, good, these idiots can't pretend like everything's okay.
Do you think that from a verbal point of view, anything goes?
No, not anything. No, of course not.
Because, I heard Mutt making that argument this morning.
No.
That you can say anything you want.
Well, God,
if it's yelling.
Well, of course you can't. There are certain words, right, that you can't say. I think, like, I'm all for, you know, heckling. Fine, go for it. Heckle. That's part of the job. Those guys are getting millions of dollars, and if they have to listen to you heckling, great. Try to be creative about it. There are probably a handful of words you can't do and a handful of things you can't say. We know what they are. Or we do. I don't know if everybody in the world does. But
And depending on how many Bud Lights you've got in you, you might not know.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can all think of a couple of words that you just don't bring to the ballpark. You can't say, you shouldn't say them anywhere, whether you're at home or at the ballpark. But other than that, I am all for... You know, if you're sitting behind the home plate and you want to yell at the hitter, yell at the hitter. If you're in right field, you want to yell at the guys in the bullpen, yell at the guys in the bullpen. But there is a line that you can cross, absolutely.
And throwing stuff at players
is already
way
line.
Over
yes,
the line.
That's also way over the line.
I mean, that doesn't matter. Let's see what you guys think. Will's on the cell phone. Hey, Will, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I'm just kind of curious. So just a few nights before that, there was a bottle of beer thrown right at Kimbrel as he's walking out at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Nothing's been said about that. Nothing. I mean, I just don't
understand. Wait, Will, so what? So what?
No, he's saying somebody should say something.
Yeah, no. See, Will, what Will's got, and it's weak sauce, Will. What you've got is, but what about?
No, I'm not. No, what I'm trying to ask is it because it's Boston that it's being made more of a big deal than because of whatever reasons from our past.
No, Will, I could be wrong, but what I think is if the beer, and I know exactly what you're talking about, Kimbrel
was... He didn't hit him.
He was too far away from
that
him.
That was the difference.
That's what I think it was. Now, that guy still, the intent, it was no accuracy on that guy, but the intent was I'm going to hit Kimbrel or at least get it near Kimbrel. It wasn't close enough. If it hit Kimbrel, even in the shoe, I think we would know who that guy was, or Yankee Stadium would have to release a statement. That's my guess. I could be wrong.
I think you have a good point.
I just think it was so far away. Like, it was almost closer to the security guard that was in the bullpen with him than it was to Kimbrel. Like, he was walking towards the gate, and it was more towards the mound.
Now, what we don't know is whether or not security at Yankee Stadium grabbed this guy.
Yeah, I don't know. They should have, but yeah, you don't know. I mean, I've been at games where guys have thrown stuff onto the field, and then people go and look for them, and then there's always somebody in the crowd that's like, oh, it's over here, this guy,
this guy's all bent over trying to sneak out.
Then he's like, no, it wasn't me, and then they're like, sir, let's go, and then they get thrown out of the game.
Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, how you doing?
What's good. Up?
Hey, listen, the recognition at Foxborough Stadium, a buddy of mine, he lost his season ticket. I don't know what he did. He did something stupid. He tried to get back in again. He got banned from Gillette. Anyways, one time he said he put a disguise on. He got in. Got to the seat. Once he took his disguise off, they nailed him.
Is that right? They knew it was him?
That's what he told us that.
He went Bobby Valentine. He went glasses, mustache, fake nose, and walked in there incognito. And then as soon as he took them off, they showed up? That's like the CIA working there?
He was in there, took a few minutes, but remember when they had the World Cup, the security system they put in?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that was forever ago, but yeah.
But I don't know that they even had facial recognition software available back then. Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Now, maybe Gillette has it.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that.
That's hilarious.
I mean, I would think that if you were trying to go through the turnstiles wearing the Bobby Valentine disguise, they might just sort of flag you anyway, wouldn't they?
Yeah, like, sir, what are you doing? This isn't the Halloween.
He got nailed those. You know, he tried
to some
foolish disguise. I don't know what he did.
So what did they do? What did they do to
him? Friend call in. We got to talk to this guy.
After they caught him, what did they do?
Threw him out.
But that's all.
He's never seen him again, Dale.
I mean, they didn't arrest him for trespass or anything like that.
Oh, they tortured him.
He was the guy that had his name was on the season tickets for 8 of his buddies. They lost all 8 tickets.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, I've heard those stories where
that they don't mess around with that stuff.
No, if you rent them out to a friend, like I've sat in season ticket holder friend seats, they're like,
warn you.
They trusted me, but they were just like, listen, like, you can't do anything. Like, we've heard stories, guys will lose their tickets. So just, you know, cheer, but cheer quietly.
Well, no, you can cheer and yell, and they want you to be loud. But if you throw
something. Don't be an idiot. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, whoever's, and I don't know if this kid has season tickets, if he's sitting in his father's seats. I don't know what the situation is. Whoever owned the season tickets, they've now lost them.
Don't you feel like if you're banned from a stadium, don't you just have to take the loss? Like, are you really going to dress up and go back in? Like, I think you need to watch the game.
Nothing to see here.
At home.
Nothing to see here. Yeah.
Not me.
Here.
Not me. Like, you need to go to the game that bad.
Go Pats. Like, go Pats.
Come on, Pats.
I'm a big fan.
It's not who you think it is.
Big fan.
My name's Mike Smith.
Mike's in Middleton. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
All right.
Hey, listen, I took the deal on B.J. Upton once in a Red Sox game, and, you know, I've been banned from Fenway Park for that.
Now, you're an idiot.
You threw a beer at B.J. Upton?
Well, you know what? Let me tell you why. I mean, there was a kid there trying to get an autograph. Before the game started, you know, throwing balls to the players. B.J. Upton catches the ball and throws it back to the kid with no autograph on it because he was wearing a Red Sox coat. You know, a little skirmish broke out, and I kept my beer. So
you said I'm going to throw a beer at somebody? You feel like you're justified in that?
Swearing at us and telling us F you and this and that. And, you know, I threw my beer. You know, it was a heated moment. And you're right.
You take it back.
Probably not the right thing to do.
No,
I've been banned from Fenway for that. And since then, I've been to probably about 15 concerts and games. I mean, what are they
going to
do, right?
Yeah, they can't enforce it. I know that they can't. I think you're kind of a lowlife, Mike, I'll be honest.
I love people who want to call and tell you about the time they dumped a beer on a player.
Well, because B.J. Upton wouldn't sign an autograph. People are ridiculous. I don't know what to
tell
you.
Well, you know, I dumped a beer on a guy one time.
I threw a beer at B.J.
Upton. And by the way, I keep going back. Yeah. They don't know. Great, sir.
Ridiculous. Yeah,
well played.
Congratulations.
617-779-7937, noon 30 today is Kiefer Madness. 1:30 today, Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, will help us preview the Celtics opener tonight. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.